Calling all detectives. When a man wanted to be kept alive for one day, I kept the bargain and then some. That is the situation on this page from my casebook. The casebook of Jerry Browning, private detective. There are times when a private detective like me, Jerry Browning, can be too discreet. The youngish man who walked into my office announced, "I'm Nate Batko, the celery king. Control 90% of the celery that's sold in town." "I see. What's your trouble, Mr. Batko? The other 10%? "Let's not get funny or I'll find another detective." "Sorry again. Suppose you tell me the trouble."
"Certainly. I need protection for the next 24 hours.
"I see. What happens after 24 hours?
"You ask too many questions. I'll pay $200 if you keep me alive 24 hours, even out of town. After that, I'll take care of myself."
"Let's see the color of your money. 100, 150, 2. Okay, let's go."
"Where?"
"For a nice long ride." I sneaked Batko out through my own personal cellar exit, got into my car, and headed out of the city. For the first few hours, I was careful to make sure I wasn't being followed. When I was sure, I relaxed.
"Hey, do you intend to drive me around for 24 hours?
"Sure. That's better than spending the rest of your life in a grave, isn't it?" When the celery king wanted me to keep him alive for 24 hours, I did. By driving him for 12 hours from town and then 12 hours back. "Okay, Batko, it's the end of the 24 hours with an extra half hour free. This is where you got in. This is where you get out.
You certainly aren't the friendly type."
"You didn't hire me to be friendly. And after 24 and a half hours, I need sleep.
Goodbye." "Yeah."
"Nice celery you've got here, George."
"For you, Mr. Browning, 19 cents a bunch. Very nice, fresh, crisp."
"George, where does the stuff come from?" George shrugged.
"Some California, Texas, Georgia, Florida, all places."
"Huh. I picked up a bunch. Who'd ever think one guy could get a corner on this stuff?" George stared at me.
"Huh? Nobody got corner on celery, Mr. Browning. Buy any place, from anybody, all the celery you want. You want kilo, maybe?"
It was my turn to stare. "George, down in the market, did you ever hear of a man named Nate Batko?"
"Nope. What else you need, Mr. Browning?"
"My head examined." I hate to be the guy who calls up Mr. Fish at the aquarium or gets the chair pulled out from under him at a party. I hate to be any kind of a sucker. So, Monday morning, I made like a detective for a change. What my inquiries added up to was that there never had been any celery king, and nobody knew any Nate Batko in the wholesale produce market. "Mr. Cooley, did you call me at any time late Monday or early Tuesday?" "No, no special reason. I was just wondering. Goodbye." "I called Lieutenant Dawson, Mr. Norris of the Great Valley, Henard Schwartz, Louis Milt Weiss, even Fire Commissioner Cavanaugh, in an effort to find out why it was worth $200 to somebody to get me out of town for 24 hours. I drew blanks all down the line. Finally, I sat down and started thinking, which is what I should have done right from the start. Celery King. Why would the man who called himself Nate Batko pick that business in preference to some other fiction? Nobody ever tells a complete lie. Even when he picks a phony name, a guy takes one resembling his own or some other name that's familiar. Celery, vegetables, apples, peaches, corn. I wrote the word celery down and stared at it. Celery. Celery stalks. Stalks? Trap. Stalk somebody and trap him. Me? Oh, a potential client. Somebody who wanted my aid would be stalked to my office and trapped. That's too silly. If a potential client was to be kept from me, there'd be 100 ways of intercepting him before he ever reached my office. Why bother getting me out of town and rousing my suspicion, unless... At the office of the building, I made them call the cleaning woman who worked on my floor. She got downtown about an hour later.
Did you clean my office Monday night? Was anybody in there? Think hard. It's very important. Yep, that was it. Somebody had been in my office after I left, impersonated me. Oh, fine. There was somebody in town who had taken what he thought was my advice. I was being represented in who knows what kind of a case by a bogus Jerry Browning. I'd like to put this ad in tomorrow morning's paper and every morning until I cancel.
Yes, sir. Jerry Browning, private detective, herewith notifies all persons that he is withdrawing from practice and leaving town. Mr. Browning, if you're going out of business, you'll have to pay in advance.
Oh, well, hello, Mr. Norris. No, don't pay any attention to the ad. I'll explain later. Hello? Mr. Eldridge. Well, no, I haven't got a cold. That's my voice. You want your bonds returned? Sure, sure they'll be returned. What's your address again, Mr. Eldridge? I'll be right out.
You're not Jerry Browning. I gave Browning $25,000 in negotiable bonds to guard for me. My nephew and niece are trying to have me declared incompetent. Want my money. Are you Jerry Browning, or have I really lost my mind?
I'm Jerry Browning, Mr. Eldridge. And there's nothing the matter with you that I won't be able to correct in a few hours with the aid of a few cops. Hello, Mr. Cabot, alias Nate Batco. You ought to read the ads. The price of celery and stalking has just slumped. Will you come quiet or can I slug you? He came quietly. And a couple of hours later, so did his sister, Natalie Cabot. The names fitted fine. After that, we got the guy who'd been hired to impersonate me. They each drew 3-year sentences for intimidation and theft. I recovered the bonds and earned a fine fee from old Mr. Eldridge. Much more than enough to pay the expenses of a special mailing to all my clients, explaining that I wasn't going out of business. Like I said, when a detective gets so discreet that he doesn't ask enough questions, he can easily wind up right out of business.